Psalm 46, we started out with, right, the call to worship. Psalm 46, just want to show that verse 10 of Psalm 46 says something that none of us like to hear. Be still and know that I am God. And just think of this is the only time probably during the week where you are kind of still in a group setting. And to keep focused on why we're here today, to hear God's voice, to worship Him. It's hard, isn't it? Because our mind goes all over the place. Some of you are thinking about, did I set the timer for the casserole today? Or who are we going to talk to after the service if we hang around? Or a lot of different things. What's going on this coming week? Our mind just goes all over the place, even when we are here to worship the Lord. So that's not the message today, just a few thoughts here. But I do like to welcome you. It's good to see every one of you here today. The good Lutherans are the ones sitting way back. And the ones that are out of their comfort zones are the ones that sit up front. And or it's those that are afraid to sit in a place that could be somebody else's place. You always safe sitting up front because you never sit in somebody's place. It's
good to have you. Comes to sit with us, yeah.
Good to have you here. Good to have you here this morning. Just want you to know there's a next week. What's happening next week? You know, we fall back an hour. So if you're here early and nobody else is here, guess what? You forgot to set your clock back. So if you're early next week, a whole hour early, it's because of the time change. And sometimes that happens. It's more so in the spring when we jump ahead. You know, you get people who come at the end of the service and go like, so when does church start? We go like, we're done. Because we jumped ahead of them. Good that you're here today. Following the service, we do have our semi-annual business meeting that takes place right after we're dismissed. And so it doesn't last very long. So don't think it's a long, drawn-out business meeting, because it never is. We're probably done within 10 minutes once we get started, just so you kind of know that. And also that there's a fundraiser today. There's this little box back by the sound system back there that are from Mark and Tammy Ebel. Most of you know that Tammy's had two transplants. She's had a kidney transplant and a liver transplant. And she's still in the Sioux Falls Hospital. And did they put a trach in her? Yeah. Okay, she's got a trach in her to help her with the breathing and stuff. So Mark's mom and dad attend Harbor of Joy, so we just wanted to do a little something for them, encourage them, and if you'd like to give, just let you know that what you give will really be helpful for them. It's bigger than it's just that you care. It doesn't matter about the amount, it's just that you care. And that you know that you're praying for them. And Mark has been by Tammy's side since December. It's going to be almost a year. You think of it from last year. So long road ahead. It's been a long road for them, but at this point in time, how is she doing, Peg or Jim? I know Jim would like to talk, but we'll just keep him quiet.
She is good one day and the next day not.
Okay, good one day,
yeah.
Next day not. I'm just saying that because people on Zoom cannot hear unless I bring a mic to you. So that's why I'm going to just repeat what you say. So everybody goes like, we see that for her. She just said that. That's for the people in Zoom. So it's just kind of still a roller coaster ride up and down.
They talk about moving her out of intensive care.
Oh, that's good.
But okay. They don't know.
Right. They might be moving her out of intensive care, but they're not real sure. And so we just kind of keep praying and keep her before the Lord. You know, prayer does amazing things. So thank you for that. So if you want to give anything to the family, to Mike and Tammy, put your gift in the box before you leave today or whatever time you want to do that, that would be much appreciated. Tonight at 6 o'clock, there is The Chosen, the second episode, I believe. The second season, I should say. The second season is being shown here at the church in the fireside room. You're more than welcome to take part of that. It's at 6 o'clock tonight. Monday is that wonderful celebration called Halloween. Trunk or treat out in the parking lot. It's from 5:30 to 6 o'clock.
Live and silent. That's a really fun night. And another fun thing to do is some people who are remote will host an auction party. Have a few people over for coffee or cake or cocktails if that's your desire. And what's the auction is a crowd in your home. So that's another good idea. So thanks, Tim. I think if Tim didn't have his sermon prepared, that's why he's asking all these people to come up and talk.
Anybody $10 who can tell me what STEM stands for? I can't hear you, we're loud enough. Okay, that's nobody knows what STEM stands for. But see, Steve, if you got any questions about STEM. If you remember, a number of years ago, there was a school bus accident that was in Tanzania, wasn't it?
Right.
And they brought a bunch of these kids to
Three out of 35 survived the bus crash. And Doreen was paralyzed from the chest down.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
No, this is amazing, but Doreen was paralyzed from the chest down. And in the human, in the entire history of humanity that's been recorded, no person with complete paralysis below the T5, the thoracic 5 level, has ever walked. And in the operating room, I was working with my partner, Dr. Durwood, a neurosurgeon, and before the surgery, I said, if anybody's offended by prayer, leave, because in our socially correct world, I've been told it's offensive to pray out loud. And I said, if you don't want to listen to prayer, leave, because I'm praying. And I told Quinn to put his hands on Doreen's back, and I put my hands on Quinn's, and I said, God, I believe you parted the Red Sea and raised Lazarus. The only hope for Doreen is a mighty miracle. God, make Doreen walk. And we put 14 screws and 2 rods in her spine. And 83 days later, she walked off the airplane in Tanzania. And now she's going to school at Western Iowa Tech and playing soccer.
There is no time for a sermon today. Begin our service together today. Heavenly Father, we are grateful to hear that you are a great God, as we just have heard a testimony about this young gal that was in the hospital, and Steve was there, and he was bold enough, Lord, to lay hands on her and pray even after putting those rods in. You're a great God. That's why we are here today, because you are a great God. No matter what may be going on in your life here today, God knows about us. And God will come and help if you let Him. Just give it all to Him today. And so we are grateful, Lord, that you work in ways that are far beyond what we could ever think or imagine. Think of Tammy, Mark, and Sioux Falls. How you've been there. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. From God, apart from law, has been made known to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness from God comes through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Heavenly Father, we thank you for these words that were read once upon a time by a man by the name of Martin Luther. And he came to understand these words in a completely new way than what he ever heard. Or he read them many times, but they just didn't jump off the page to reveal to him what is so important for us today. So Lord, use these words in our lives this morning as well, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I brought with me today, because last week, you know, there was a fly that came around. So I'm going to zap them today if it happens. I haven't seen any around yet, but, you know, if there's a fly that comes and I zap them, you'll remember nothing about the message today. You'll go like, I remember that Sunday where the pastor zapped that fly. Well, I hope that today the Lord will zap us through his word. That we'll always remember today because his word spoke to us and ministered to our hearts in ways that only he can. So the book of Romans is really where it was revealed to Martin Luther that God's salvation was by faith alone and not by works. He read that in the first chapter of Romans, verse 17. And in that verse 17, you find that it's an Old Testament reference that he uses as well. I think it goes, it's in Habakkuk, where it says, the righteous shall live by faith. That was the verse that just set him free. He's a Catholic priest. Back in the medieval ages, back when Black Plague was very rampant, 1517, is when he nailed the 95 Theses on the church door in Wittenberg, Germany, where it stated that he was very bold to be able to do this. I mean, it was nothing to put any kind of announcements, things that were happening in the community, in the village, and nail it onto the church door, because that's where everybody kind of went to find out what was happening around the village. Well, he nailed his 95 statements where he just was bothered by the teachings in the Roman Catholic Church that were not based on the Bible. So he's really kind of a man that brought the Bible back into the lives of people a little more than 500 years ago. He also had a big influence on the Methodists, the Wesleys. And little did he know that he would have that kind of an impact. And he never was a guy that wanted to have any kind of, to be in the limelight for anything. He just wanted the people to know the truth of God's word, as I do, as well. And he sure didn't know my ones, or would be, either. So Luther lived in a time where works in the church played a very significant role in the lives of people. It's still very much the same today, isn't it? People are kind of hung up on works. Got to do this, got to do that. If I do this and I don't do that, God will be satisfied and pleased with me. How many of you think that way? Or once upon thought that way? I did. I thought that if I could just kind of follow the Lord, that I would make him a happier God with me. And then I knew there's days that were not so good, right? He had to be really angry with me. But when can you do enough to please God? When you know you've done it. You Because God is always pleased with you. It's never changed. He loves you just as much today as the time you were in your mom's womb. He's always loved you. It's just that we've had more of a problem with God than he's had with us. So if you go to church, you might say this, well, if I go to church, if I pray harder, if I pray enough, if I read my Bible and I go to Bible studies, if I live the best I can in keeping the Ten Commandments, or if I help my neighbor and be kind to others, I will go to heaven. Do you see all the do's and the I's in what I just said? It's full of them. And we are so programmed as human beings that we think we have to do something for God, when God has done it all for us already through his Son, Jesus Christ. So the very first word in verse 20 of our text today, what is that first word? What does it say in your Bible? Of course, it depends on the translation here, but what's it saying? Oh, you didn't bring a Bible. Oh, you got one, okay. What is the first word? Verse 20.
Therefore.
Yes, who said that? That's correct. Therefore. Do you know that every time you see the word therefore, it is a conclusion of what has come before it? There's a thought that is going on, and when therefore comes, it's going to sum up what has been said before. And so what do we see? We have to go back to Romans 10, same chapter. And what you find there, it's got a list of different things that come from the Old Testament that Paul is writing about, where it says that there is no one righteous, not even one. It's referring to every one of us here today. There's no one righteous, not even one. And no one understands. And there's no one who seeks God, for all have turned away. There is no one who does good, not even one. Again, it says not even one who does good. There is no fear. That fear means respect. There's a high reverence for God. It does not exist before their eyes. And then Romans 3:20 goes on and it says, no one will be declared righteous in his sight. And his is a capital H, which refers to God himself. No one will be declared righteous in God's sight by observing the law. But rather through the law, we will become conscious of sin. And he goes on to say that faith is where we become righteous. Righteous to live by faith, not by doing things to try to please God or to gain his favor. Are you with me? Tracking with me here? Good. Cheryl, you haven't called Dean yet. So that's a good thing. Which reminds me, you know, I came here Friday afternoon. And I could tell someone was in the church. I didn't know who it was. Saw the lights on in the church. I go, this is odd, because AA is over with. It's after 4 o'clock. I go to the kitchen. The light's on in the kitchen, and then there's two guys that are, Dale Garrels is in the kitchen. He's standing up. Who's laying on the floor? Dean. I'm going, Dean, what are you doing on the floor? Now, Cheryl, be easy on this guy. He's trying to hook up this osmosis for the water because the bun coffee maker arrived. Did you get it fixed? Oh, so. It's not an operation yet.
The bun's working.
The bun is working, but the osmosis isn't. But I'm just going like, this guy has got, you know, some neck trouble, and he's got some back problems, and there's different things going on in Dean's life that you don't know about, but I do. And the last place he needs to be is laying on the floor with his head tucked underneath the sink in the kitchen trying to fix this thing or get it hooked up. I go, like, good grief. I said, I'm not going to see him on Sunday. But here he is. He's still here. I wanted you to hear that in verse 20, it says, the law, through the law, we become conscious of sin. That is what the law does. That is the work of the law. When I teach the confirmation students about the law, I say the best way to remember the law is S-O-S. You know, usually somebody would, you know, write that out if they're in trouble. They'll put S-O-S where people from the air can see it. And if they see an S-O-S, they know that somebody's in trouble. They need help. They need to be rescued, whatever it is. If you're in an airplane, sometimes you say, Mayday, Mayday. That's not a good thing to hear, Mayday. It means something very critical is going on with this airplane. There might be somebody saying, like, an emergency, they call 911. They want some kind of help. It's very urgent. In the back of a school bus, what do you find on that back door? The kids are never supposed to open up that back door because on top of that door it says what in the bus? Emergency door. Only time you open that is an emergency. The law, by S-O-S, it shows our sin. That's what it does. That's what it's always meant to do. To show you and me how bad and evil we are. The law cannot save you. Try to keep it. And you'll find you can't keep it. I had a confirmation student who was bold enough to say one day, oh, I don't sin. I keep all the commandments. I go like, liar, liar, pants on fire. I said, you try and keep the law and never sin. I said, you might be pretty good for a little while, but you're not going to get through a whole week and not sin. You're not going to get through a whole day and not sin. The following week, I asked her, I said, so, did you sin this last week? Oh, yeah. Yeah, I did. She goes, you can't keep the law. Good boy. You can't. If you think you can, you're believing the lie. You're deceived. It is the law who shows us, when we look into the rear view mirror of our vehicle and you see flashing red and blue lights. Does that mean something? First thing you say is, what did I do? What did I do wrong? And if the vehicle that's got these lights flashing, if they pass you and keep going, you go, I didn't do anything wrong, or they're after somebody else. But oftentimes it's not that way. I've seen those lights, and I've gotten a speeding ticket. Not fun. Somebody goes like, would you tell me you're a pastor, and then you had to get to the next church? I go, I'm not going to use that. I said, I'm guilty. I got caught. And I just said, give me the ticket, and here's the registration, driver's license, all that you need. And so, I mean, I got caught not once, but twice, going to the same church. I never said, I'm a pastor, I have to get there, so give me a break. I never used that, so I'm guilty. I was going 70, and I should have been going 55. And so the cop said, well, I'll just say that you're going about 65. That way they won't take anything off of your license. I go, well, you don't have to do that. I'm guilty. And he did that anyway. So there's a little bit of grace that's there. The law helps us to see there is no hope. All I see is sin in my life. The closer you get to Jesus, it's like a light, because he is the light. The closer you get to the light, what are you going to see? The closer you get. You see it in your bathrooms. You notice the lighting in your bathrooms is different than in your kitchen? The lighting in your bathroom is much brighter. And you notice things that you don't notice otherwise. The closer we get to Jesus, the more dirt we see. The more pimples we see. The more, what do they call them, black things?
Blackheads.
I'm not saying you got blackheads. But you know, it's because of the light, you see those things and you want to do something about them, and you know, you're more likely to do. For you ladies, you kind of cover up stuff, or you go like, oh, I got aging spots or whatever it is, so I'll put this on because it'll look like I'm a beauty queen. What we need is SOS, which is the gospel. It's where God shows our Savior. That's what we need. But we don't know that we need a Savior until we know that we have sinned. And then we're rotten to the core. And we need a Savior to save us from our sin. That's what the gospel does. And only the gospel can save. So that's the gift that Martin Luther came to understand. It's one that was the beginning of the Protestant Reformation back in 1517 on October 31st is when he nailed those theses on the church door. But he talks about how can a sinner become righteous in God's sight? And Romans answers that question. It's not anything that you and I can do. It's what has been done for us through Christ. It is the righteousness that Jesus gives to sinners. It's a gift because he paid it all for us. That's why you need him. That's why I need him. And it's not just for the Jews or for the Gentiles. It's for both. Jews and Gentiles. I mean, it's a gift that's going to be given to anyone who will come and believe in Jesus Christ as his or her Savior. If you don't know Jesus today, you need to. But I can't believe for you. I can't do really anything for you other than to tell you what God's Word says, and then you need to respond to it either by faith or you reject it. By saying nothing or doing nothing, you've already decided you don't need Jesus. So don't use that trick. I didn't say anything. I didn't do anything. I was quiet. No, you've already told God you don't care about what his son has done for you. So the big teaching that Luther did that separated him from being a Catholic priest, and he remained a Catholic priest his whole life. He died a young man, in his 40s, I believe. And he came up with justification by faith. It is a theological courtroom word, justify. Justification. But it simply means this: just as if I never sinned. It's the best way to remember it. By faith, when I receive Christ, I believe in Jesus by faith. He looks at me, God looks at me, I have a new standing with him, just as if I never sinned. Doesn't make me perfect, because I'm still a saint and a sinner. But it's a courtroom declaration. It's where God declares you and me and believe in Jesus, his son, where he says, I declare you, I don't see sin in your life anymore. You've been forgiven. My son has did it all for you because you believe in him and you trust in him. If anyone gets to heaven, it's because of what Jesus has done, not what you have done yourself or anyone else for you. It's got to be Jesus who does anything for us. It's him who gets the credit. So when the judge gets his gavel, he takes that wooden gavel and he hits it on something. And he declares to the person who's there on trial, and he says, not guilty. It's done. It's a period. We receive justification and sanctification at the same time, but sanctification is ... etc. Which means it's a process and it's ongoing. When it comes to justification, I'm justified, it's a period. God said it, he did it. Game over. You are in the kingdom. So he uses some words. It says, for all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. And that's our problem. For all have sinned and fall short of God's glory. I believe it's a wonderful thing to be able to tell people, even like after a church service, of just saying, you know, I once lived my life like that, but Jesus changed it all. He changed it all. Because he took my place and died on the cross for me. So there's three uses of the law that we find in Luther's Small Catechism. The first use of the law is that it sets up a society that has moral standards. It means there's law and order. Without the law, we have chaos. That's where the Ten Commandments come in. You know that it's a perfect law. Only 10, that's all we need. If they would be enforced. That's all we need. And God knew that's all we need. The second use of the law is that it shows me my sin and God's hatred of my sin. It convicts me, troubles my mind and my heart, and shows me that I need Jesus. And that's really what the law has come to do, to point forward to say, hey, there's still hope for you. But it's not found in the law, it's found in the gospel. And the third use of the law is that it guides me on how I should live. After God, by his Spirit, has revealed himself to me as saint and sinner, by his word, he shows me how I'm to live my life. Still a guy. I still mess it up. I still sin. But I need his word to show me and to ask them for forgiveness. I'm humbled by his word. And so I'll just close with just saying a couple more things here. The big one is this, is that the law cannot save you. Only the gospel. And in Romans 6, verse 23, is a wonderful verse. I've shared this at many funeral services. Romans 6, 23 says, the wages of sin is death.
And at a funeral service, it kind of hits home a little bit more than it does otherwise. Because you have either a coffin with a dead person in it, or you have someone who is now today is cremated, a little box. But that's the end result of this life, is we're going to die. And our soul will live on. And so the end of Romans 6:23, it says, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. That's a promise. We may die physically, but spiritually we live on to be with the Lord forever through Christ Jesus. Through his son. That's why faith is so important. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your words in Romans. There's a whole lot more there. But today, Lord, we just are grateful that we can see that the law cannot save us. But you've provided the gospel, the good news. It tells us that Jesus has done it all for us. So help us to believe, even when we find that it's difficult. And we need the help of the Holy Spirit to even bring that faith to us. To help us to see that this is the path that I need to go on. The gospel path. And we know, Lord, that there's the Romans road, where there's a number of verses in Romans that really point us to go to the cross. The answer is found in the gospel. The answer is found in Jesus Christ and no other place. Thank you for helping us to see that this morning. And may we pray the prayer that you taught your disciples to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. May you stand, if you're able to stand, and we will recite the Apostles' Creed together as well. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You may be seated. There was no fly today to get zapped. But were you here today and got zapped by God's word? That's the most important thing. You're much more important than a fly. Because someday we'll fly away. Because of Jesus. So, finish it up.